Much band. All right. You know, I've always, for a long time, I've known that some ministers are jealous of the music program. And I realize why, because you don't do this when I'm preaching. And you're very happy during the music, as am I. Thank you so much, band. Wow. Well, this year during Advent, we have looked at things a little bit differently. Bev shared with you earlier the traditional emphasis of each week as we lit the Advent wreath, but I'm sharing with you from a different perspective. We're looking at the four Sundays of Advent from the perspective of the context and the promise and the waiting and the fulfillment. Those are our topics for the four Sundays. And we're looking at each one of those from three different perspectives. So we'll be looking at waiting today. We've talked about the context, the situation of longing and the need that was present in humankind. Then we talked about the promise that came along. It said something is coming, something good, something more is arriving at some point. And now we're speaking about the waiting time for that. We've been given the promise. Now we want to see it happen. When we look at it from, first of all, from an archetypal perspective, an archetype is something that is universal. It is something that is present in all time, in all places, among all cultures, among all people. And it's universal in that experience. And as we look back, we can see that this matter of waiting, even from a scientific point of view, is part of the archetypal structure of existence. Because between push and pull, there is that moment, ever how brief or long, lengthy it may be, there's a time of waiting between push and pull. There's a change there that happens. In between the ebb and the flow, I'm sure all of you have stood on the beach at one time or another and watched the waves as the waves come in, and there's a moment, and then it goes back out, and then it comes back in, there's a moment, it goes back out. There's that waiting period, again, sometimes short, sometimes longer. The physical principle, the scientific principle of for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Well, between the action and the reaction, there is a moment of waiting when that energy changes direction along the way. And you've been practicing it this morning already, because in between inhale and exhale, there is that moment, though it may be slight, there's a moment of waiting. So this idea of waiting has been a part of human existence from the very beginning of human existence. And it's important for us to recognize that. We're given some scripture to deal with that as well. In Psalm 27, we find, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, but wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So that is a part of us in our living. Now, from the second aspect of looking at these four parts of Advent, there is the historical or the situational perspective as well. And our historical perspective is that of the Judeo-Christian New Thought tradition that we've had for that period of time. One of the things that happened in that tradition is that the promise of the Messiah was given, and some believe as early as Genesis. But depending on when you really see that promise of the Messiah happening and being given to the people, there's a period of somewhere between 2,000 and 7,000 years between that prophecy and the coming of Jesus, which most people view as the fulfillment of that. 7,000 years of waiting. And we get tired, we get frustrated when we have to wait for our computer to boot up in 10 seconds. We've become a part of an instantaneous gratification experience, but it's really not like that. We have to live in a little bit of a different way. So in our historical tradition, the Judeo-Christian New Thought tradition, there is that time of waiting for God's promises to be played out as we have taught them. You know, we see this in a lot of ways. Bev and I have a kind of a joke going on. There's a cartoon strip called Pluggers. I don't know whether you've ever seen it. It's a light-hearted view, kind of laughing at old people. It's okay, though. I'm kind of part of that now, so it seems funny to me. But there was one the other day that I saw that we'd been talking about waiting for a package to come that we had ordered online. And the Plugger cartoon was, you know, a plugger doesn't know what's in the box that arrives that's delivered until he opens it. because we forget what we ordered, and it's just a surprise when we come there. But that time of waiting, you order something, and then it comes at some point. Sometimes you forget what you've ordered in that meantime, in the time of waiting for that. So waiting is a part of us all through our life in so many different ways. Now, the third perspective from which we look at waiting today is that of the metaphysical or the momentary now. What does it mean to me? What does this idea of waiting mean to me? We've looked at it from archetypal perspective. We've looked at it from a historical perspective. What about right now? What does waiting mean for me besides the frustration of it? So one of the questions I ask is, what do we do while we're waiting? We have all kinds of things that we're waiting for. We wait for Christmas to arrive as a date on the calendar. We wait for our birthdays to arrive as a date on the calendar. We wait for graduation time to come as a completion of studies. So there are all kinds of things that we have in our life that we're waiting for out there somewhere. And there's a definite point where we know what's going to happen, especially something that's connected to the calendar, connected to the passage of time. But we ask ourselves that question, what are we going to do while we're waiting? What do you do when you go to the doctor and you sit down? And where is it that you go into when you go to a doctor's office? A waiting room. They even have a room for it for us. So you sit there and you wait. And it's not very often. And bless the doctors. I know they do the best they can. I want them to pay all the attention to me that I need to. But most of the time, your appointment's at 9 o'clock. And you get to see the doctor sometime after 9. So you're waiting during that time. Some places have three-year-old magazines that you can look at while you're waiting in that moment. Sometimes they have a music playing or they have a television going with news that you don't really want to watch. And you find ways to amuse yourself during that time. I like to people watch, but now I was at the dentist the other day and they would not allow but two people in the waiting room at a time. So you don't get to watch as many people as you used to. And I've taken to carrying my phone with me and pulling up solitaire on the phone. So while I'm waiting and doing nothing else, I'm playing solitaire. At least my mind is occupied with something. So in our life here today, we have to decide what we're going to do when we're waiting in so many different ways. If you've ever tried to get on US 1 off of one of the side streets there, it's a long wait. It's a Fort Lauderdale joke now that the traffic light that lets you get onto US 1 lasts a long time. So find your favorite station on the radio and tune in and listen, because you're going to have to wait for a little while. So you can see from these illustrations that there are a lot of different things that we do while we're waiting. One of the things that while we're waiting in a spiritual sense for something that is to come, something that is to arrive, there are at least three things that we can do there. One is our prayer time. We pray while we are waiting, because that is an experience that soothes us, it comforts us. And it's a good thing to do while we are waiting. And then we take the time of meditation, which is a little more focused, a little deeper. Again, it's a time of nourishment for us that we can do while we are waiting. And then there's also that experience of studying and reading and conversing with other people, having discussions with people. I know that our power hour here, Cynthia does such a great job with it, and people are so appreciative of having that time to take their study and bring it out and share it with other people. We study, we read, we discuss while we are waiting, and that gives some meaning to it. One of the things that happens occasionally, though, is people give up during the waiting time. They forget what it is they're waiting for. They throw it away. They let it go. And we have some biblical examples of that. You know the story of Abraham. I mentioned last week about the promise that was given to Abraham, that Abraham's descendants were going to be as the sands of the shore and the stars in the sky. And Abraham and Sarah were getting a little bit elderly, and they still hadn't had any children. And Abraham got impatient, so he took his handmaiden Hagar, and the two of them had a child because he didn't want to wait on Sarah getting pregnant. And then after that, Sarah, of course, had children. And that's where we trace the trouble back to between the Arabs and the Israelis, was this child that came that wasn't supposed to be, in a sense. Abraham and Sarah was supposed to carry on that line. But Abraham gave up. He got tired of waiting. He said, I'm going to do this myself. I'm not going to wait for it to play out. Another example was Moses. You remember Moses leading the children of Israel out through the wilderness, and he went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments from God, and he was gone a long time. People had to wait for him. They got tired of waiting, so his brother brought them together and they got all their gold and melted it down and made a golden calf that they could bow down to worship, because Moses was gone, God wasn't in sight. They were waiting too long, they got tired of it, so they decided they'd do something about it. And they threw away what was coming to them in such an easy way. Another illustration which is kind of interesting to me is, you all know the character of Judas in the New Testament, who he's famous or infamous for having betrayed Jesus. And there's some people who believe that Judas was really trying to help Jesus when he turned him over to the Romans, because those who were with Jesus were believing that something was going to happen and set the Jews free from the Romans. And it wasn't happening. They were having to wait on that. And Judas thought if he pressed Jesus, if he pushed Jesus, if he put Jesus in a place where he had to defend himself, that he would step forward and bring this great experience to bear where the Jews would be released from the rule of the Romans. And of course, we know it didn't work out that way. That's an interesting theory. I'm not sure I completely buy it, but it's an interesting way of looking at it. And it does illustrate what happens when we're waiting and we get impatient and we don't follow through with it. So we live with that all the time of waiting for one thing or another, even in our spiritual lives. But a while back, I got this idea, it hit me, that what if it's not so much we're waiting on God as it is God waiting on us? And that kind of hit me upside the head and made me think about my own life. Okay, we're promised these wonderful things that are coming from Spirit. We're promised that enlightenment is going to come, that understanding is going to come, that revelation is going to come, and I'm waiting for it to happen. But what if God is waiting for me to be ready for that to happen? Now, what would I don't think there's a state in the United States that gives a driver's license to a 12-year-old. Why not? They're not ready for it. Is it impossible that they're going to get a driver's license? No, but they're going to have to wait until they're old enough. So getting the driver's license is waiting on them to be old enough to get the driver's license. What if the revelation that we desire, that we've been waiting to happen to us, is waiting on us to be ready for us to have it? If you remember the Star Wars movie, and I believe it was in the first one, where Luke was coming along, getting prepared to be the hero that he was going to be. And at one point, and I think it was more than one point, Luke saw something needed to happen. And he was ready to go. I'm going to go do it right now. And those that were teaching him said, no, you're not ready. It's not time. That is waiting on you to be ready. And I think that is true for us too. The great revelations that are there for us, that are possible for us in the spiritual realm, are waiting on us to be ready. I often hold in my mind that if we were to achieve total enlightenment, most of us, I think, if we were to achieve total enlightenment in this moment right now, we'd probably go, because the intensity of that energy, the amount of that energy, that total spiritual understanding would bring, would be too much for this human system. And we couldn't handle it. So that truth is waiting for us to be in a place where we could handle that truth. I remember that line out of, what was that movie with Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise? And Jack Nicholson was in court and he said, "You can't handle the truth." Well, I think that's our case as well. There's much that we can't handle yet about spiritual truth. There's so much potential. There is so much possibility that we've been longing for and waiting for it to show up. But what if it's waiting for us? Now, I said we talked a moment ago about what we do when we're waiting. What do we do when we realize that that truth is waiting on us to be ready? What can we do to prepare ourselves to be more ready for the truth? And interestingly enough, it's very much the same as what we did before, but doing it with a different understanding. We can pray from the vantage point that I'm praying because I'm waiting for something good to happen. We can meditate because I'm spending my time waiting for something to happen. We can study and have discussion and read, waiting for something to happen. But what if we do those things with the deliberate idea of preparing ourselves to be willing and able vessels to receive the truth that we're seeking? What if when I pray, it certainly comforts my heart, but what if it opens up my eyes so that I can see the truth that's right before me? You see, I believe that everything that we're looking for is already here. I think all the revelation that is going to come to humankind is already present. It's already available, waiting for us to be ready for it. So when I pray with the idea that my eyes are being opened so that I can see what is already here, that I can be a fit vessel for that. When I meditate thinking my ears will be open that I might hear what is there for me to hear, what I need to know. That's one experience that some people have experienced when they are doing deep, deep meditation, is they hear things that they don't hear normally. Why does that happen? Because they were ready for it. Sometimes people have challenges in their life and they want to know, why is this happening? And one of the responses I've given to them is that because you were ready for it. There's a story about Jesus going out, and Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist and had that marvelous moving experience. And immediately after that, he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days, as the story goes. Why did that happen right then and there? Because he was ready for it. Why didn't that happen before the baptism? He wasn't ready for it. It was waiting for him to be ready. And that step that he took publicly to step out to be baptized and the inner experience of that said, I am ready now for this experience of dealing with the devil. And that's when it happened. And I think very often we have experiences not because we're being punished, but because we're ready for it. We have challenging times that come not because something's wrong, but because we're ready for it now. So I encourage you to keep that in mind as you face something that's challenging to you. What if now is the time, because now you're ready, now you're stronger, now you're more open, now you're hearing like you've never heard before, and now is the time. You don't have to wait anymore. And the experience doesn't have to wait on you as well. And even with our reading and our studying and our discussing, if we do that, not to pass the time while you're waiting for something else to happen, but you do that in preparation for that which is already here. Have you ever been reading a book and all of a sudden a sentence on the page just lit up like it was on fire and just jumped off the page at you? And it was a book you've read before and it didn't happen the first time. Why did it happen the second time? Because you were ready. One of the things I haven't done it this year, but very often I will read several Fillmore books over and over and over again. And I started the practice when I was in ministerial school that I'd get a brand new Fillmore book and I'd read it with a yellow highlight marker. And I'd highlight the yellow that jumped out at me. Then the next year that I read it, I'd use an orange marker. And the things that were yellow marked last year that were supposed to be really noteworthy, it was kind of like, okay, I know that. But I found this sentence that wasn't highlighted, I could have swear, was not in this book the last time I read it, because this is just too powerful. Well, why was it so powerful now and not before? Because I was ready. Why did that revelation happen now and not before? Because I was ready. And that revelation had been waiting for me. And the possibilities of life that you see when you are ready, it's been waiting for you all this time. It's not a matter that you waited long enough for it to show up. It waited long enough for you to be ready. Thank goodness that that happens. So during this week, I encourage you to take some of these words with you. Let me share with you some of Charles Fillmore's quotes. In like manner, the divine substance out of which all things are formed in its spiritual freedom is here in our midst waiting for us to form it into whatever we may decree. And again, the human organism has a world of latent energies waiting to be brought into manifestation. It is the quiet realization that there is a listening mind and a ready host of the great ideas at all times waiting for us. We must begin to see this four-dimensional world within with its innate capacity for all things. Everything is right here, all that ever was or ever could be, simply waiting to be brought forth into manifestation by us. Daily concentration of mind on spirit and its attributes reveals to man that the elemental forces that make matter are here in the ether, awaiting our recognition and appropriation. So I encourage you, as you go through this coming week, this third week of Advent, and we talk about waiting, be aware that the great truth that is waiting for you to be open enough to receive it, the great truth that is waiting for you to be able to see it, to be able to hear it, to be able to feel it. It is yours already right now. It is there. We use the quote a great deal, and I do use it a lot. As a matter of fact, I did last week, where Jesus said, "I have come that you might have abundant life." Another one of my really short quotes that I think is really powerful there is from the book of Revelation, where Jesus said, "I have placed before you an open door that no one can close." It is that open door that beckons to you, that says the open door is waiting for you. The open door is not going to come find you somewhere. You are ready for the open door to walk through. So as we go through this time of celebrating Christmas, and we're waiting for December 25th or 24th, both to have the great celebration, let us be ready and understand that that is waiting for us, that the true revelation of Christmas is waiting for our understanding. The true experience of Christmas is waiting for our capacity to be enabled. And that's what we do during this time as we talk about Christmas, as we learn about Christmas, as we experience the love and the sharing of one another. It's about getting us ready for that which is waiting for us. Let us not make Spirit wait too much longer. God bless you.
And this is our time to talk about giving. And I guess I should say, what are you waiting for? Do you really trust the field of possibilities? Do you really trust that God is good everywhere present? That there are solutions to what bothers us, to what we see as wrong and amiss? And are we going to spend this holiday season where so much has changed and there are people and friends and family that we can't celebrate in our usual way, or at least we're told not to. So are we going to spend that time of waiting, griping and fussing and feeling lonely and feeling sad, which we know not only drags us down, but everyone around us? It doesn't feel good to have those conversations, does it? So let's use this waiting time of giving, giving encouragement, giving support, giving smiles, giving love, giving of your presence, even if it's by phone, by note card, by Christmas cards. And we would ask that you open your heart to believing in the law of giving and receiving, because it works and it is true. And the more you give, the more you will be receiving. So we would appreciate your donations here. Press that donate button on live stream, and if you're here, there's always an offering plate, you know. So we appreciate your gifts, but we want it for you because it feels so good to have a commitment to a spiritual practice and a spiritual home. I call your attention to this positive part of the CARES Act. This year, there's a $300 donation that every tax filer can take off the top, whether you itemize your deductions or take the standard, $300 right off the top. So check your charitable giving and make sure that you at least take advantage of that. So let us bless our offering together. With a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack, and we allow good to unfold in our lives. Good is ours. Good and more good is ours. And ever-increasing good is ours. Everywhere we go, we can see this good. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen.